Back at it on a Tuesday here.
It's actually Monday.
That's right, Monday. Sorry, we were just watching the weather. Yeah. Tuesday is going to rain in the morning at like 4 a.m., and then it's going to feel like 102 the rest of the day.
Yeah, yeah. Got to be beautiful.
Anybody else mowing with me today?
I don't know how you're going to get through that wet grass, though. That's the only thing, right?
Spit on it. Don't forget, this year we partnered with KCUC, as Bob mentioned earlier in the 6 o'clock hour. And KCUC is donating $50 to the Prostate Cancer Foundation by every home run the Royals are hitting this season. 1 in 8 men will face prostate cancer. Early detection saves lives at KCUC, Kansas City's largest, most experienced, and most advanced neurology team. You see the best in KC. Schedule today at kcuc.com. $2,900 so far this season with 58 home runs. With the boys in blue, we'll get as much information as we can on Bobby Witt Jr.'s injury. I know that Andy Rogers and Joel Goldberg both had said that he had right knee soreness. Don't like that.
No, you don't like that at all.
Hate that, actually. And then Caglione ran into the wall and had some sore shoulder issues, so we'll see what they keep doing. They have an off day today, pretty big off day. They're pretty beat up. And then back at it Tuesday at home for the rest of the week. I believe the Rangers and then the Houston Astros.
And Triple Crown candidate Yordan Alvarez is rolling into town.
I wonder he's now the MVP favorite information that was out on Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah, and the fact that he could potentially win the Triple Crown too, Dusty. I mean, that is Miguel Cabrera the last guy that we saw win the Triple Crown, right? I mean, that's wild. I didn't realize Yordan Alvarez was doing that when it came to the Triple Crown type stuff. And obviously, nobody's really paying attention to much Astros baseball these days. So
right. But most importantly, tonight is game 3. I'm not sure what to expect from San Antonio. I know they had a chance to win it with Wembanyama at the game-winning shot on Friday. Did not fall, and the Knicks went up 2-0. Mm-hmm. Game 3 tonight in Madison Square Garden.
He fell, though.
He fell.
He did.
Yeah.
He did. He had a pretty crucial, young, athletic turnover.
I didn't hear the conversation be about how he fell on the last shot. I was perplexed. I was wondering where all the SGA haters were when Wimby fell down.
Oh, you mean the flopping? Yeah,
he literally fell down all on the ground on that last jump shot. No one touched him. That would have been the whole conversation all weekend.
Well, see, I think what part of the problem is, though, to be honest with you, Mac, it took place on what, Friday night?
Yeah, that's fair.
So Stephen A. Smith hasn't had a chance yet to yell and scream, and all the talking head shows and all that kind of stuff haven't been out there over the weekend. So, you know, I'm sure, you know, once, you know, we kind of get into the flow of it today, I'm sure people will be talking about that. But the weekend happened, and you know how it is. We were talking, what'd you do this weekend? My head was so busy. I had so much going on, right? It happens. And so we'll get back to the screaming head shows that start place today. And, you know, they'll probably be on, or they're going to move on and focus on what's going to happen tonight. Game 3, you know, at the Garden. I didn't realize the Knicks were only the third team in NBA history to start the NBA Finals 2-0 on the road. The 93 Bulls and 95 Rockets did it. They're the only other two teams. I think that's a crazy stat, a crazy piece of history anyway, that only two teams in NBA Finals history has won both games on the road to start this thing. And, you know, the Knicks did the Knicks things, right? They did exactly what you thought the Knicks were going to do, fall behind early and find a way to come back late and win the game and rely, obviously, on what you do. But also, they took advantage of Wemby being 22 years old in that game. The moment was too big for him on Friday night.
And it's kind of interesting because the moment has not been too big for Karl-Anthony Towns.
Oh, my God.
He lived up to the expectations of game one that he had such a great game in. And in game two, another double-double, like 28 and 13 or something around those numbers. And we all kind of respect what Charles Barkley has to say, right? Yep. We kind of believe what he says. He doesn't really leave anything sugarcoated. He kind of says it straight from the hip.
Charles Barkley, I know you're raring to talk. What's on your mind?
Wimby's in shock right now. It's probably been a long time since he got his ass kicked like this. I remember when I got in high school, there was a guy named Lewis Jackson.
Oh, yeah, that Lewis Jackson?
And I remember the first time that I was like, you know, when you're a great player, very rarely you just get your ass kicked. Lewis Jackson did it to me in high school. Leonard Mitchell did it to me in college at LSU. Wimby's spinning. You see, he's throwing the ball all over the place. It's a shock to his system. He's too young to understand. Like, I got over it. But right now, he's turning the ball over. He is so flustered right now. And listen, we can say what we want to. He's 22. He's going to own the league soon. But right now,
he's being owned.
Big Cat is just taking his ass to the woodshed, plain and simple.
The first half highlights presented by...
Yeah, I mean, it really is just, it's true. I mean, the moment was too big for Wemby on Friday night. We saw him crumble, but that's probably a good thing for him in the long-term scheme of things because you've got the opportunity now to learn from failure. Will he? I mean, this is where you find out who athletes really are when they're faced with that failure for the first time. How do they recover from that failure? Because as much as you're talking about flopping with Wemby, that pass was a bad pass. It was a shot. He's falling all over the place. The moment got too big for him. Will people accept that the moment got too big for him? And I'm really interested to see how he responds back tonight. I mean, he's lucky we got another game, right? He's lucky they got another game. It's like a baseball player. Put that in the rearview mirror and go forward. I'm very interested to see what Wemby's going to do tonight and how he's going to respond off of that. Because if they end up losing this finals in four games, then the conversation starts with Wemby right away, doesn't it? Oh, the best player to ever win a championship. Like, he gets put into that category at 22 years old. And so much pressure on that guy tonight.
So let's have a conversation real quick about Wembanyama. Is he playing a different style of game, or are the Knicks forcing him to play this style of game? Because the stat that jumps out to me, Mac, is that he is 4 of 15 from the arc.
That's crazy.
Why is he shooting that much from three? I know that he has that game, but it's not working. And 4 of 15 from three is not good for Wembanyama to keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And I know that in the series before that, I was praising him for hitting the step backs, and he was doing that against Oklahoma City, against Chet and those guys, but it's not working. And I don't know if the Knicks are forcing him out and they're just like, you know what, if you want to do this, go ahead. If we lose a game because Wembanyama goes 4 of 6 from the arc, then
fine. Dang it,
then we lost because he hit threes.
Yeah.
But it sounds like they're just letting him do this, and he's still continuing to take that bait. And I don't know if he's getting out of his game that makes him so special, or if he's just doing this on his own. Again, 22 eventually will become the guy. This is why when we started this series talk, I was like, I don't think he's the face of the league yet. I think he's one of the faces. I think he's on track to become that. And again, 22 finals, playing a team of destiny. We know how that sometimes can work.
Yes.
And maybe this is a reality check of like, whew, man, yes, I've got what it takes, but I got to finish it. I got to figure out what I can do to get the job done. And right now, Karl-Anthony Towns, who is, you know, I don't know if he's known as one of the best big men in the league, but by God, he's playing like it.
Oh, yeah, he is. No, I would say what we talked about last week with him finding his offensive game. I mean, this is what the Thunder did. The Thunder did the same exact thing the Knicks are doing. He shot 2 threes game one, then it was 7, 5, 7, 5, 9, 5 threes each Thunder game. He was shooting a lot of threes. He was making them.
Yeah.
That was the difference. That was literally the only difference.
Well, when you're hot, you keep shooting, and when you're not, you got to stop.
And
he
wasn't hot at the beginning of that series. Credit to Wemby, he found himself and said, okay, you guys are going to force me outside. I'll be able to shoot. But he doesn't have the size, and Kat has the size to be able to say, you're not going to come down and back me out, and I'm going to let you shoot. So, no, I think that's what Wembanyama now has to find the counter to that, whether that's...
First time he's kind of been bullied, too, all
year. Yeah, a little bit like
know?
That. Yeah, I mean, in the playoffs, in this situation, 100%. Yeah. Obviously, Joel Embiid's put 50 on his ass. This has happened.
Right.
This isn't the first time he's lost or been like, damn, I'm kind of getting manned down here. But like this,
like
over
this.
And over again on this sort of showcase. So, yeah, I think this is... It's huge. He was 11 for 21. He played better. He played a lot better last game. But, yeah, he's going to have to find a way inside and also find a way to share the basketball more. It's too much Wembanyama at the end of the games right now. But that's part of the team's problem, too. Who else is going to step up and be that guy? De'Aaron Fox tried to a little bit, but they're going to have to find that out soon.
But also, if you're Wemby, too, you also have to understand that everybody is looking at you. This is all about you, right? Everything that's going to be determined out of this series and everybody's talking points for the next couple of months are going to revolve around what this series did. There's a good chance that the Knicks end up sweeping this thing, right, and end up winning this thing. But it doesn't mean they're ultimately going to be the best team moving forward. This is when the Bulls had to beat the Pistons, and they couldn't beat the Pistons, and they finally did, and then boom, they took off and did their thing. You have to crawl before you can walk. You have to walk before you can run. And I think right now the Spurs are realizing they're 21, 22, 23 years old playing against men right now in an atmosphere that they've never been in before, that really nobody's ever been in before, and what they're going to face tonight. I mean, tonight is going to be... I don't even know how to explain the atmosphere that we're going to see inside that building, right? Like, I and how do you... How do you handle that if you are that visiting team? If you're the San Antonio Spurs, 22, 23-year-old guys, you've never been through this before, that atmosphere is going to be big, man. It's like when teams first come to Arrowhead Stadium or Cameron Indoor or Allen Fieldhouse, and you have those first couple of minutes where you're like, oh my God, the building really is the sixth man in all of this. And so I'm anxious to see how San Antonio is going to respond to this, because if they get down early in this one, that building is just going to come alive. It's going to be alive, and it's going to get even more alive. If the Knicks open 5-10-point lead early in this thing, people are going to lose their collective minds.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Hart showed up as well. I mean,
everybody's doing it for the Knicks. That's the thing. You mentioned who's going to pick it up for Wemby. Like, literally, and that pass by Karl Anthony Towns is not getting enough run either. Where he's under the basket, paint, whips it around the dude, and kicks it out for three. I mean, that pass was sick. Absolutely sick.
Yeah, it's just one of those. It's one of those. I don't know. I don't really like think of the destiny things or like stuff like that. But sometimes there's just an aura around people that is just causes other teams around them to falter. And that's what we saw Wembanyama do it. We saw him throw that ball up ahead, not looking. Jalen Brunson's watching Wemby the entire time and then goes and gets it, gets the foul. And you can see the frustration, like hand to hand, like, why did I do that? It's like, because the moment's big. Yeah, the lights are bright.
Right.
But like, you need that sometimes in your career. I mean, Mahomes had a horrible first half against Tom Brady and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game, and then came out in the second half, and it was like, I got it. I figured it out. But at that time, you know, Tom Brady was still playing football at an elite level too, and it was like, it's not your time yet, kid. Just wait. And this is kind of like the Knicks are like, hey, this is our run. This is what we've done. They still haven't lost since the NFL draft. And now they go back to New York, where it's going to be an absolute electric show. I'll be tuned in from minute to minute, starting at 6 o'clock when they do the pre-show, just to kind of see what the garden looks like, what everything's going to be and everything that goes with it. And this is the finals. This is where it gets made. And maybe this is just, you know, not Wimby's time yet. Maybe this is Brunson and the Knicks' time to kind of put 53 years to bed and hold up a trophy and then see what happens after that.
And then wait another 53 years to do it again. But I think also, too, by watching Wemby, though, and to Dusty's point, really should make us appreciate what Patrick Mahomes has done, because he literally had a half where he was shell-shocked and then took over the league. I mean, really, it shows you how hard it is to dominate this early. And I'm watching Wemby, and we're hearing a lot of the same stuff you hear about Mahomes. You mentioned the GOAT category and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady are really the only two that I can think of off the top of my head that just hit the ground running and never let up, you know?
Tiger.
Yeah, I'm talking team sports, though. Okay. But Tiger, yeah, absolutely falls into that category. But when you're looking at the team sports, you like, you know, the Bulls struggled, obviously, to start their dynasty. You know, the Spurs are going through it right now. You see these teams and these players struggle. And then you look at Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady, and you're like, yeah, Mahomes had a bad half in the postseason, and that was it. And he took over and has owned it. Tom Brady, from the minute he walked into the postseason in 2000, 2001, they took off and they ran. Find me other athletes that just dominated in the postseason from the minute they walked in the door and had that immediate success. It takes time, you know, it does. And Mahomes and Brady have ruined it for everybody, guys.
I think that leads us right into a good segue of our Monday overreactions, as Matt can get right into it with his overreaction.
And I would still put Wemby on the category below that. He's in the finals in his first time ever.
Sure,
you
know, absolutely.
Yeah, in the finals, first time ever in the postseason. Yeah. Pretty incredible. Mm. But
you got to win it. Otherwise, then we start talking Josh Allen narratives, you know?
As I said, the referendum's going to happen, especially if it's a sweep. Get ready for me to be closing my ears and la-la-la-la-la all NBA offseason to all of that BS. Wembanyama.
Low-hanging fruit, though, Mac. You know it's happening.
Oh, of course. I said it before the series started. Yeah. Of course it's going to happen. Yeah.
They either win and they're hated, or they lose and he's hated.
Exactly. Yep. And either way, he was going to be.
Does he become a villain, though, if they win?
No matter what, he's a villain.
Really?
I've said that for a month or two now. He will be the most hated player in the NBA a year from now. It's already happening. Yep.
Based on
goodness. Before it was his dirtiness, so the elbow, him saying, come in there, hard fouls. He's European. And right now, the cockiness. So some people would think that the aura, the arrogance that he has, I think it's awesome.
The best athletes are arrogant, every one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I think the mental is what's great for him, but this is his quote that some people are being rubbed the wrong way by. This is everything that I wish for. There's no reason to really overthink it. I mean, this is what I'm built for. He says when he asked, being down 0-2 in the NBA Finals, I'll say Spurs are winning tonight. It's my overreaction. They're going to lose the series. They're down 0-2. They lost their first two home games. Their best player is 22 years old. They're not coming back. Okay, this is 90% over. I'll never say 100%, but I think they win tonight. I don't think it's a sweep. I'll give it Knicks in five, maybe six, but probably five. I think the Spurs do win tonight and come back with the haymaker of their own.
Yeah, you're hoping for a fifth game. I just think that the Knicks end it. I do. I just think they just say, screw this. We're winning this thing in four, and we're taking off from here. My overreaction is a little Karen-ish. I'm not going to lie. Why did we have Sunday night and no NBA or no Stanley Cup Finals?
Thank you.
Who did that scheduling? I mean, I was at the KU game, obviously, last night for the first three innings, and then it was over. Mm-hmm. But like, we were all kind of talking, like, there's no NHL Finals tonight. Mm-hmm. There's no NBA Finals tonight. How did you miss a Sunday night opportunity where there really was nothing else going on the sports calendar? You had some baseball here or there. But I would have thought last night would have been a great night because it is a Sunday night, and now here we are on Monday. Summer, people are in their summer activities. Mm. I just thought a big miss by both of those leagues not having a game scheduled. I understand hockey played Saturday night. Oh, my God. Double overtime game.
Unreal.
I mean, the way that that thing ended was absolutely insane.
It's been
so
sick.
Yeah. I mean, the Stanley Cup playoffs, I mean, these three games so far have been nuts. But that's my overreaction. You went a Sunday where you do have a captive audience, and you didn't play either one of those finals. That didn't make any sense to me.
Total miss.
Yep. My overreaction has nothing to do with sports. My overreaction is it's time to kill all downtown day events. I woke up Sunday morning very, very disappointed to be a resident of Lee's Summit. It's over. It's done. Can't have this. I don't know. It's just sad to hear, sad to see. Saturday night, went and hung out with some people at the downtown day events. It was fine. We had a good time during the afternoon, went and got some, you know, vendor food, got to see some of the cool people out there that were doing these things, all for it to be ruined by teenage violence. And at the end of the night, there's a Dairy Queen, for those of you that are familiar with downtown Lee's Summit. My buddy has a house that's down there. We went over there to get some late night sweets because we didn't want to go back downtown because we knew it was getting kind of, you know, messy. We had one of my buddies who's an EMT who called us because he knew we were down there. There were reports of gunshots. There was bear spray being sprayed that apparently was brought in by these teenagers, not the police, because they don't use that type that they found. A gun was found as they were trying to chase down a teenager who was running away from the scene. We cannot have this. We cannot keep doing this. Because sooner enough, they're going to have vendors that are like, you know what? We're just not doing it. It's not going to look the same. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how much time the Lee's Summit community and the board of people down there need to put together this thing of like maybe setting up a curfew, putting up, you know, police officers after 7 o'clock. You'd asked me earlier because you guys both know I came in pretty hot about
this. Yeah, you were. And I don't blame you, Dusty. I don't blame you. You want to take your family out for a nice evening and celebrate the town in which you live, and you can't do it because of violence.
Can't do it. It's not fair to the city. It's not fair to the people that want to have these sort of events for these, you know, people, these mom and pops trying to have these sort of things happen. Why would they do it? They're vendors. I know for a fact from people that I talked to on Sunday, there was a bunch of people that just didn't even show up Sunday. They packed up
vendors,
night,
you mean?
Gone.
Wow.
They shut down food
now,
stuff.
Now that's
early.
Big when vendors are leaving early, because now you know what they're going to say? I'm not coming back.
No, I'm not going to spend money to rent a spot to get, you know, my life threatened. Yeah. I'm not going to do this. I don't want things to be ruined. I mean, there's videos of teenagers kicking cops on the ground. There's pictures of people starting, you know, fake things out there saying that, you know, gone or something like that. It just has to end. And I think that you take a year off. And if that's an overreaction and you don't like it, I'm sorry, but I don't like waking up Sunday morning, seeing my city that I live in very close to that area be completely put on blast because a bunch of people ruin it for a bunch of other people that are just trying to have fun and enjoy the kickoff to summer.
Right.
You got to end downtown days.
Yeah. My daughter was at Old Shawnee Days over the weekend. I think they went out there on Friday. Nothing like this. She didn't say anything. They were just, you know, kids hanging out and doing their thing. And she hooked up one of her friends with one of her friends and she was very happy about that.
Cupid
brought a couple of people back to the house to, you know, hey, you guys need to meet. You know, I'm like, hey, I love it. You know, what do you got to do?
Somebody that says, so your answer is to cancel the events. How about you come up with a real solution? That's what I've been trying to say for 3 years, and they're not doing it. They're just not doing it. Last year, the same thing happened.
You know why security costs a lot of money?
It does.
Yep.
And the other thing, too, is that you do have to have a plan. And whether that is on all the access of the streets, you have metal detectors there and you have people checking IDs like you would when you're going to a Royals game and you walk in, or a Chiefs game when you walk in. And you have
or
to
like
figure
the garden
something.
Tonight. No bag policy at Madison Square Garden tonight. They're asking people to get there early. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to continue downtown days, but it is going to be a secure area, like when you go to the airport, right? And you get past security, that is a secure area. And maybe that's what we need to start doing, because if you start having violence at these events, vendors aren't going to show up, families aren't going to show up, and then it's over. So you've got to find a way to preserve these, because they're great for the community. They're a lot of fun. People like going to these events, but if you don't feel safe at them, then it's going to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, it sucks. It just makes you not want to go to that, whether it's a parade, whether it is a downtown festival, whether it's a large gathering for a game, whatever it may be, it's been ruined. I don't know. I mean, you can blame the parents, you can blame the kids, you can blame the city, you can blame security, you can blame whatever you want. It's just you know, it's just not fun. And it just really makes a bad damper. Because I don't know how many people are actually that are causing this are actually from the cities that it's happening in. I don't know the number of that. I don't know the statistics, but I know that the statistics will drop because people just won't go. And when it was on the Lee Summit community page, there was a bunch of people out there that were like, yep, this is why I haven't gone for the last couple of years. It's the same story, different day, different year, and I'm just done with it.
I think the biggest thing, though, that you mentioned, Dusty, that really needs to be said again is that vendors left early. And when you have your folks there that are putting on the event, and that's the reason you're going to see the vendors, and, you know, these people are making their arts and crafts, their pictures, their things, their food, and all that kind of stuff. They're counting on this as income. This is the way they make their livelihood. And if they're leaving early after they paid to be there, too, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you have to start wondering, man, what is going to be done? Because you don't want your vendors having to leave early, because if they leave early, then there's no event.
Yeah, it says from the text line, took my kids there 9, 11, and 12. We left after 20 minutes because we didn't feel safe with my kids.
Wow.
Damn.
Sad. Very sad. Coming up on the other side, the most pressure on one NFL player plus Chiefs Madden ratings are out. Mahomes is a 96. I haven't looked yet. I'm just wanting to be surprised. You're on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty, analytically the best morning radio show in Kansas City, as voted by people.
There's a lot of people talking out of their butt.
Fesco and Dusty is brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. 96.5 The Fan.